Hi Alice, my name is Martha and I sleep while living, pretty much. Just wanted to say that I listened to the latest episode. I'm so stoked because you never miss these episodes, hey? Over and over again, I relate to so many things that you say. Thank you so much for sharing those parts of your life about mental health and everything with us, so that it makes me feel less weird, less out of place. I don't know how to describe the thing that you help me with, but yeah, thank you so much. Please keep on keeping on. Welcome to the AliExpress. I think this is the second episode that is sponsored by Redfontein. Yep. So how do you like the juice, guys? This is long life. That's
long.
The juice.
Like it.
they have two versions.
That's for long. I'm trying to figure out what long life.
Like the milk.
Yes, you see the box? So it's long life.
Oh,
yes.
So you can leave it out for longer without having to refrigerate it
after
opening.
Yeah,
I mean,
basically.
For me personally, prior to this, I hadn't tried Redfontein.
At all?
I was normally like a liquid fruit kind of guy. But then they had that whole thing with also the. So listen, it's good. It's great. It's
nah, man, we were raised on Redfontein.
Yeah.
No,
so
really.
You grew up.
Yeah.
Did you take it to school or was it holiday, part course?
Part course mostly.
Yes,
yeah.
For me it was part course.
Yeah, to school that was a.
That's a bit rich.
Yeah.
It reminds me of UNAM.
Oh.
Reminds
yeah.
me of UNAM days. I think I get it from, the Grub and Independence.
Oh yeah, those
the,
things are not Grub and Independence anymore. They've rebranded.
I'm scared to even see.
Yeah,
but
don't
like,
go there. So
yeah.
So I'm Alice and I'm not pregnant.
Oh.
<I'm>
Yay.
Oh, that's a bit over this. We're cutting that out. I'm sorry.
Because people would assume.
No.
Sorry.
You can't see it though. I'm sorry.
So because I always get asked. if I'm hetero.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Your best friend is. You know how people that are always together look the same?
Yeah.
And her best friend is hetero.
Yeah.
So people were talking to her in that language and she's just like, please, no.
And I'm going to Okakarara for Christmas.
Oh,
so
love
I'm looking forward.
Okay.
You're,
I'm using
you're coming back.
What?
You think you're coming back? Or you're just gonna blend into your new life?
That would be a great way to disappear.
Yeah, okay. I'm sitting next to Matthew.
I'm Matthew. I'm who you come to for anything dog related.
Okay.
Yeah. And do I say I'm not a cat person?
So could I bring a cat?
I'm curious
house?
About them.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah. If I had the right dog here, like my own,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious enough to explore a relationship with a cat. If
like
I got the right personality.
Okay.
That wasn't a runner, that isn't randomly
yeah,
smacking
I,
me,
I,
that isn't
yeah, sometimes some of them are abusing.
Yeah,
but
pushing
like
things off the table and stuff.
Yeah, they're actually very interesting. I love cat videos.
Mm.
So today I just wanted us to talk about being an introvert as a millennial in a capitalistic society. So to break that down further, I think we should just define what being an introvert is or an extrovert, because some people think being an extrovert is being outgoing or being an introvert is being quiet, but that's not actually what it is about. It's more about how you energize. So introverts recharge their batteries alone in their own space and so forth. And extroverts are actually energized by interactions with other people. Ideas come to them and so forth. But for the introverts, I don't want to say you're sucking the life out of them. That's a bit dramatic. But yes, they can exist in these spaces. We all exist in these spaces in community with each other. But we are very different if we don't understand each other and so forth. So I actually just wanted to talk to you guys on here. Like, how do you cope with that in today's world? Because a lot of your work, both of you, you have to have a social media platform where you interact with people. You're in the public. People also recognize you and they're like, hey, and maybe they want to talk to you, but like you're like, not now, please. You see, yeah. So how does that feel? Are you always ready to have a conversation?
At this point, I'm forced to be. I'm forced to be. My face is, my facial expressions aren't the friendliest looking either. So by not engaging you, I just look like I genuinely don't care about what you. So because I already have this going, I feel like.
Oh, because you have a, can I call it a resting bitch face?
A resting bitch. Are we allowed to cast a
little? Yes, yes, I will. Right. We swear. Yeah. All right. Yes.
Yeah,
so you have a
resting bitch face. It's just, you just come across to be that much more rude when you're not engaging. Yeah, like.
I think for me. Sorry.
Yeah, now it gets to a point where, like, I'll forget. Because I'm so used to just existing in my space and living my life that I'll forget I have magnetic stickers on the sides of my car that display my services.
So you're driving around.
Stare down with a homie. Like,
and what are you looking at?
But also, are people
froggy,
not...
you want to leap? Like, what? But then I have to remember, oh yeah, there's advertising and stuff. But just because of how I... deep in my ways I am, I would feel, even that would feel like invasion of like intimate, like, why are you staying in my direction for so long?
What are you looking at?
Away from me for this long. Yes. It's time to look forward.
No, but I think I don't, okay, so the whole thing of having pets, it's not the same for everyone. So
pets.
Yes, pets, dogs. So I realized that when people came to our house to do work, whether it's painting or some other work, and they're coming from like the other side of town. So my tenant had a pug, but the pug thought he was mine, so he was with me all the time. And so the people would be like, "Okamboka stambwa," like, has this dog been bumped by? Because they've never seen a pug before. So one time I was pet sitting hamsters, and then the guy was so confused. He was like, what is their purpose? Because what are they doing here?
Are you raring?
Like, the dog is at least maybe protecting you or something. But the hamsters, what's this now? So I think maybe when they see you, depending on which side of Windhoek you are, you are very interesting because, this guy has got a car full of dogs.
Oh,
what's going on?
Yes. Petrol jockeys.
Oh, also, when you go fill up.
Every day in count, every single day.
So you used
to
be
if
now.
I go to the same place.
You're
asking every time. Like, there are times where you have to almost come across as defensive already. Like, just look busy so that you don't.
Yeah.
I'm talking about an hour ago. Even an hour ago, I had one of those type encounters. Or on the way home, actually. Yeah. As soon as you park the car, you're trying to not look interested. Somebody will engage you. They will ask you.
So, but what do they ask you about?
Sometimes it's just pure shock. It's the fact that you can have multiple dogs in one car. Other times, it's the sheer size of the dog.
Yes,
a
they
lot
are
of
big,
times it's really bad preconceived notions about if all of these dogs were to gang up on you, they wouldn't leave any life in you. Like, they would
there's also
that aspect, yes, yeah. But, yeah, for some guys, they almost engage you just to get your human sense, if that makes sense. So there are some people who don't actually know what to say to you. But because they are so fascinated with what you do and the fact that you're black, they feel the need to say something because I'm sure I can find a conversation starter somewhere.
Somewhere.
So let me just see where I could breach you and then that, like, that's it. So then the next time you come, try to build up a bit more. The next time you come, try to build up a bit more and so on. So.
Okay, so you're always ready. These don't deplete your battery.
They do, but because they've almost come to become non-negotiables, because these are everyday encounters, you then learn to pick your battles.
Okay.
Because you can't get annoyed by everything now.
Yeah,
you have
also,
to now
you have
allow
to also...
certain things, and then you, then your new range of things that are, that trigger and annoy you has to now
yeah, you have
be
to elevated.
Stress levels, yeah,
yes.
Have to be heightened. So just so you can exist in the world.
Basically,
and I think for me, it's a lot of that, like distress management and tolerance building, and also how well I start my day.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You left corporate as well. What was the issue? Because I remember you saying, this is just not for me. I can't do it.
Yeah, like, I remember thinking about how it never made sense to me when I'd hear stories about people who had the dream job and then just left it one day after 20 years of building that career. I was there a bit under 2 years. I didn't need any more.
Only?
Really, yeah.
Is that your whole corporate experience?
My whole corporate experience.
It's only been 2 years long.
Yes, less than 2 years. I did not need any more. For me, it was already tiring, the thought of the bureaucracy and also how it's really not in the favor of people a certain skin color.
So
if I'm allowed to say
you
that.
You can say that because respectability politics is a big thing.
Yeah, because I remember having an altercation with one of the other, she was a superior to me, right? But she wasn't my superior. And it was over who did the dishes when the cleaner didn't come in, when she had an off day. And she came to me and said, the boss did the dishes and there's no reason why that should happen when there are PAs there. I was a PA. And I was so dumbfounded, right? Because even when it came to that, I generally just did my own dishes. The cleaner would do my superior's dishes and everybody else's dishes, right? And there were some people who did, strictly what their bosses, with their PA, they do their boss's dishes because the cleaner might not do their dishes, right? So it was also really weird because it was like, there's someone I can trample on, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted someone they could trample on. Mm-hmm. It's like, I am not at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I guess the hierarchy seemed to be that we were at the lowest of the low, right?
Yeah.
So she came up to me and said this, and I was like, I'm not paid to do your dishes, right? And it was, I don't know how it went because they'd have these meetings without us and like, it's kind of hearsay at this point, whatever happened after that. But yeah, that for me, the how to climb through the ranks,
how to gain respect.
Okay.
How you're supposed to present.
So when I said respectability politics, we actually all know what that means.
Mm.
Sometimes I like to break down terms so that whoever's listening can understand if they're like not on that. So what does respectability politics mean to you? Because I have something to add on about that.
In the correct sense or in the sense
in
that
the sense
I'm uncomfortable with?
No, with work, in the current workspace as a black person. So when, okay, so let me say
yeah,
something.
You,
so
yeah,
if when I think of
this, applies to me.
Oh, okay. So when I think of respectability politics, it's basically, we've had apartheid and all of that. And even this thing of when we go to church and we're in our Sunday best, it was like the only day that slaves were allowed to make themselves look good and dress up and wear dresses and so forth. And then we have this whole natural hair movement. Why is it a movement? Because our hair was offensive. It had to be straight like everybody else's and so forth. So we have internalized a bit of it. Like if you walk out with your afro, sometimes even your fellow sister will be like, why didn't you do your hair? Or when are you going to get your hair done? It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because if white people can also just make a little bun or whatever, why can't we, you know? So I think for me, it was an issue because, or I thought maybe it could be an issue for you because I remember being in science at UNAM and the lecturers would be like, why do you like to look
good? Why do you have the time to look good?
Even
with the workspace in corporate, that was something else I couldn't stand because also hair was an issue.
Yes.
But these are things that would not really reach me directly. It would be things that would have, like, in a meeting, and my boss would be told, but there are certain things that I guess were ridiculous to him. He never felt the need to come and bring them to me, but I'd hear it outside in the office. But, like, I really didn't care. And this was my first real job. I was just so excited, right? And the person I was working for literally had this vision of like, okay, I don't want to say because then it'd be obvious who. But anyway, he was like really, really particular about how we looked at work. And I really care about my appearance. So it's not a problem, right? I got you. And it seemed to make people uncomfortable in the office space. And it's like just wild to me because it's like, why is expression making you uncomfortable? And I also didn't understand corporate colors. I didn't know any of this.
Yes,
I really was just
in fresh from bus.
You know, and I was just enjoying.
Yeah.
And I was just enjoying my office fits, my fire office fits, and taking pictures. I was in my bag, in my head, right? And I was really thinking about, in a few years, I could be here, I could be there. And my brain was recalibrated real quick. Mm. I came to crave a life where if I can be paid to create my art, and that's what I do, I'm able to sustain myself, my rent is paid, I have food, and I'm creating for a living. That's where I started to really crave that. And also not having to deal with people. Because I don't want work. I was done. Nothing to take.
Maybe 8, maybe 9.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
I think it's intoxicating the climb, I guess.
So you didn't even hang around long enough to run into any accounts, pay, buy a car through the bank?
No.
Like, cause
no.
Those ones also tie you down for that matter. I'm pretty sure, like, I owe a good 4 years to like the corporate space just because I had accounts and debt to take care of before I could.
Oh. That's something else that frightened me. That's something that really frightened me because they tried to rope me in. I got a lot of application things.
Yes.
And it's like, why don't you this? And it's like, you can open an account. And I would save and buy the things that I wanted from the stores that offered an account, and that way, like, maybe a little bit on the pricey end. Like, with that, I don't want to say names because we're not getting sponsored, but you can use your imagination.
Yeah.
And it was like, you don't have to pay this, right? Because they'd see how I'm struggling, right? It's like, I am paying half my paycheck because I, like, also I was getting starter pay, right? I was getting starter pay for a long time, and it just felt like, until I'm getting what I want, it will take a while. Yes, and also it didn't make sense to be getting a low salary and most of it going to debit orders, right? That to me didn't make any sense. And I managed to restrain myself from that. And when I got out of that space, I realized that that's how the loop
runs. That's how they rope you in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I felt like it seems like stability, but to me it feels so fragile because if your job ends, you're
then
fucked.
Then you're okay. So the other day I was telling her how I bought a phone on credit to build credit, but I didn't finance the whole phone. I just did half of it, but it's because I had never taken anything on loan, and how this. I want one day when I'm doing some higher purchase or something for a car or a house or whatever. And she was like, I don't have any credit. I was shocked. You're like,
I won't say I don't have credit. I'll say I don't know what my credit looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it like that. Because also, most of my adult life was here. And then I went back home for 3 years. Well, I'm still there. I'm not back, right? And it's the restarting, right? It's rebuilding. It, first of all, it was learning to live in this society. I didn't grow up in this society, right? I came here when I was 18 years old. So I had to acclimatize to here and then go back and adjust to there.
Okay, so I remember you telling me about the bathtub analogy.
Mm.
Could you please explain it to the listeners and Max?
Bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So I heard this analogy that explained introverts. This was more in the sense of highly sensitive people, though,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, a separate topic, but it kind of relates to introversion and extroversion. So it said that, you know, people who are more introverted and more sensitive are like a bathtub. Think of everyone as everyone's social capacity, social battery, like a bathtub, and the length of time that it takes to fill and drain is different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, we all go to the same party and our bathtubs are drained social capacity wise, and it might take an extrovert just the night to recharge and be able to do it again. I need the week to recover, you know, compared to that person, for instance.
So the rate at which it fills up and drains.
Yes. So my social battery drains. Also, maybe my tub drains faster than yours and then takes a longer time to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And then yours drains much slower.
Yeah,
and
mine drains, much slower.
And fills up real quick.
Yeah.
Whew.
Like, I need a day to recharge usually.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
nice. If I can get one active,
one good day.
Yeah. It doesn't count if it was disrupted or if I had to do other things in between. No, I need a whole, if I can get just that one day, whether or not I really got to rest is sometimes irrelevant, but the fact that I can count that it happened, that even plays a role all on its own. So sometimes not even that I got the actual rest and recharging, but by virtue of the fact that I actively dedicated a day to just myself.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I can then get myself to just sort of relax throughout the week because I put the work in already.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not it feels that way, I'll count that day and I'll wait for it to sort of kick in at some point during the week. Like if I took Monday off,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably not rested by Tuesday or Wednesday, but I'm pretty sure that by Thursday I won't be as fatigued.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so that everyone has an understanding, I'd like you guys to describe your jobs or what it is you do. And I think that will then make more sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you go, Mupalo.
So
you said you were creative. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a creative. I paint. I'm an artist. I do freelance writing. I have a degree in English. And more recently, I was teaching early learning at an early learning center. For special needs kids. So I've done, I have a food business where I do stands at markets. I do gourmet sandwiches. And is that everything? interior design is a very slow burn business that I've been developing through my own house. So I buy some grace and some miracle, shout out to my landlady, but I found this space that I really liked, but I couldn't afford the starting rent, and it didn't have any storage at all. It was an old build and it was in a really good area, and it was a bit higher than my price point, but it was really low for that area. And so she agreed to a deal where I paid half cash, and the other half over a couple of months I put in, I designed some storage and had it made, right? And after she saw that, she agreed to have me install floating shelves, which is, so it's, we've had a working relationship since then. She agreed to have me install a mural in my studio space / living room. So I've been able to develop that. Mm. And it's not something I'm advertising so much yet because I don't think I'm at that level yet where I want to advertise, but it's a slow burn, you know, business that I've been developing. I had one job, like when I started this, that I had to stop because the client got weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, look, I don't play like that. Keep your money. I'm out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Why? So that's also why this is the topic today, because everybody's not only just doing one thing.
Mm.
Okay, well, there are some. But if you had all the money in the world, would you be doing all those many different things?
I think so, honestly. I think that I do things based on my interest level and skill set. I think it's things that I'm genuinely interested in. And only thing is, I would not teach at anything lower than tertiary level. That's really, truly not my dream. Having to be somewhere at 7 in the morning for my career,
okay. Yeah.
No, that's not me.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's not enough time to recharge, because also I feel like I'm a night owl. I can paint throughout the night, and it's like the way that the sun rose that day,
yes.
That's how it is when I'm really locked in and I'm painting. And I know, like, if I put in, like you're saying, you are saying this in terms of your rest day,
mm-hmm.
but with the kind of work that I do, for instance, with the painting, if I have one amazing night of painting every week, I'm able to finish a piece in, if it's a very complicated piece that might take a couple of months, I can do it in a month or two, which is a very fairly short time frame for certain pieces. But I can't also, it's not the kind of work that you can say, oh, every day I'm going to work on this piece at this time for this amount of time.
Yes. And that's how corporate is.
Yeah.
I think the thing that annoys me the most is we have to be there from 8 to 5, whether there's work to do or not.
Yeah.
And we work at different rates, and we're not all efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at things, because there was this one job where this man was very slow. he would come in early and leave late. And then they use that as an example, like, you, oh, they also treat people that don't have kids as you. There's no reason for you not to be here all the time. Why are you leaving when it's time to leave? You should be able to stay longer so it looks better for whatever. And I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
We need to ask why you have to stay so long. Honestly. What's going on? So that's also one of those things that I think personally, if I had all the money in the world, I would not be doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Okay. I'll be watching anime. Yeah. Okay, I'll be doing the podcast. I think I'll be teaching because I love that. Because even before I started lecturing at university, I was teaching little kids, you know, Kumon? So there's math and English, but you're doing the beginning of addition in English.
And that's what I was doing. So it's so cute. Wonderful.
It's so cute that, to see how they're clicking, like, oh, minus is subtract. It was so cute. So maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm getting that from the dogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly what you guys just described. I would do exactly. Like, I wouldn't, with all the money in the world, I wouldn't change anything I'm doing.
Wow, that's nice.
At all, yeah. Yes. I would still work with dogs. I would still want to train dogs.
Okay, but you didn't tell us what you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I run Paws R Us, which is a business that caters to all dog services. So with having left corporate, I just felt underutilized. Always felt like I had more to offer. Just I hated a lot of the dynamics that had to do with corporate. I hated the little exchange program you have where now I fell ill, so now I owe you an extra hour, and I need to do this, and because I've been...
I need to prove that I was sick also.
That type of thing, yeah. That, all of those small little issues, yeah. So with having left the corporate space, I more than anything wanted to feel extremely, extremely like just... relevant to myself, to the people around me and stuff. So with having left that, I went to NASC for about 6 months before I dropped out, because the same monster that had me leaving my job caught up to me at NASC, because you're still faking.
Really? How?
Because that's a different setup. I didn't go to get a degree, but the reason you showed up in the first place wasn't the reason why everybody else is there. You showed up because on paper it makes sense. So the intention was good. But I never really saw that, okay, fine, in 4 years I'm going to walk out here with a degree. And I was, first of all, just done with this.
Yeah.
I'm done here.
No. If anything, give me the money that I paid for my degrees. I think I'll be better off without them. I know that sounds so bad, but I need to reach a certain level in my life where I feel like it has paid off. Maybe it is, or it takes time. I also don't believe in suffering. And I think... boomers like our parents feel like we just don't have the patience to suffer, but I'm like, why are we suffering?
We don't though. But like, honestly, we don't.
No, but
because we are also actually suffering, because by this age a lot of them were able to buy houses. My mother had 3 children and a place for them to sleep at this point. And we were talking about, I wanted to get a dog. You know, one of my fears is how to move with a dog, because I feel like every year that starts, it's like, I'm able to keep, and I've been lucky to stay in the same place for like almost 2 years now. And it's just like, will I close the year again at this place? Will it stay okay? Will I want to stay? Like, it's just so much anxiety when you don't own a home. And I feel like there's a certain level of alertness that we've been forced to develop in our DNA because we don't have the stability that they had. We are people are on the streets in situationships at 35 years old. Our parents were at assemblies, you know, watching us sing very badly. So, like, it's...
When you said the streets, I thought you were talking about homeless people. But you're talking about the streets.
You think the people on the streets have hope? Like, they're also feeling hopeless. Bruh, the streets is not a fun place to be.
If you think about it, but you're reminding me of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and how if you have your base level needs met, then you can self-actualize and be whatever. So if you don't have a home, you don't have security, or you don't have companionship, or you're not in community with people, etc., then you are not going to be able to self-actualize. So we were maybe given the impression, or for me, especially with school, because I was rewarded for doing well at school. And it was very bitter to learn in the first year of work that there's nobody that's like, well done.
Yeah,
in our school,
yeah.
We got little stars. We'd go home with little stars
that
in our books.
And
my mom
made you want to strive.
Yes, and my mom was also very much like, oh, you did so well. Here's the whole Harry Potter series book, or I'm going to buy, you know. So it was like, the incentives was there to work. So in my first internship, I was like, ah. And then I made this mistake of also, it shouldn't be done, but I would look at the lives people were living and the work they were doing, and it was not matching. This person's always smoking, what, but their kids in private school, you're not getting anything, but you're working. And little things like that. It wasn't about how well or how hard you worked or how good you worked.
Yeah.
It was about some other things.
Yeah,
whether this person came first, whether they were older. And for also the longest, the first, I think, 5 years of me working, we were referred to as babies. Like, oh, where are the babies?
In a professional setting, that is not okay.
And there was even a time, okay, this was when I was at a certain place where, how do I say, we had cars and they were dispatched. And the drivers would, but which was sweet. We were the babies, so the drivers would always come and like, oh, come like little flowers. Here are sweets. You are old. We have left school. We have graduated. But
yes.
But you know, and then there was one day, I don't know what happened, and then I had to come with a car. They were all shocked. Because you are a baby, but it's because you are starter level, intern, then you're also relatively young, and it doesn't really matter how you work. But I think the nice thing is, I think with the places that I've lived, I've done my best to the point where they're always like, come back. And I'm like, no, I left for a reason. Also, they recognize you very late. I remember one of the places I worked with, I was due for a promotion, but then they were like, there's too many women, so we need to put in a guy. And then I was taken off, but they didn't know that I heard that, all of that. And this was before I went to go do my master's. So I left and I think I was on the edge. I was like, do I stay or do I leave the country and go? And this just solidified my decision. I swear to you, they were devastated. No, we were supposed to. But it was not happening.
Yeah.
So what now? I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also adds to the problem of it. And that is why I compartmentalize and I'm there and I go home.
And thinking about that, if one person leaving can devastate an organization, it makes me really wonder, if I put all that effort into something that's my own, how much can I produce? I think that's something that really drives me, because it's like, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I have this idea. Oh, I used to make, I make skincare products also, like natural skincare products, because it's something I started doing for myself to combat the winter dryness here. My skin was really not adapting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make potions. And it was like, wait, what if other people need this? And to this day, I've stopped advertising because I'm branding and everything. But there's still people that will like call me for like an order of something specific. Because like they tried it once and like they'll come back. And that's really reassuring. And when people send me pictures of like my skin is clearing, it's like, yay.
So it's that
working
validation,
yeah,
that you're in the right place.
Yes, it really
yeah
does. And I do it because also I'd rather make use something that I know everything that's in it. I feel like I've become very adverse to things in a packet, even when it comes to skincare and hair care and everything. And also I realized that oil on your skin, especially in the summer, so
yeah
much better than lotion.
Oh,
it
okay
also even just looks better, but that's, I digress.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your aha moment of, I'm on the path that I'm, like the same way she said, okay, this is reassuring and rewarding and fulfilling, because you said you'd be doing that either way. Or are they more like little moments and not like one?
Well, I think for the first time in my life, I actually found myself, because the thing is also, I've been, just growing up, I've been a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Yeah, but same.
Now you have a lot of things that you're good at, but nothing specific that you're great at. And then this one thing came along, and all of a sudden I just felt alive and vibrant.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I found my that one thing that makes me feel like I'm in a specific type of gear. So, it wouldn't be like it would. I would feel alive, the
okay.
most alive when I'm around dogs, and especially when I problem fix, because the same way you guys see kids click and stuff.
Oh yeah, we're talking about the little children grasping
yeah.
the concept of math.
Mm.
Okay.
And then also just being around other people,
and
it's been happening while I've been sitting here, like, and there's a constant communication around these guys, the dogs now,
mm-hmm.
that is always it's almost like I define it as like you know with the planets how they have a ring around them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's
like
a channel of communication always flowing.
Mm.
Now you're either in tune with it or you are not.
Mm.
You're either conscious to it or you are not. So I like, for the first time in a while, I could be around other people and have something that was unique to me and to me only.
Mm.
So I'd be around dogs, and no matter what's happening around me, I have this whole channel I can tune into that, that where I know it's only me that can tune into
that thing.
So
you've mastered.
Yeah,
that's nice. I wanted to just comment on the jack of all trades saying, you know the full saying of it.
Mm-hmm.
So a jack of all trades is a master of none,
mm-hmm.
but a jack of all trades is better than a master of one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that has actually reassured me. That saying used to trip me up because I've always been interested in several things,
mm-hmm.
and I've never imagined.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because some people want something they're good at.
Yeah.
And then you get a lot of some people who are good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now you can channel it down.
And corporate also tripped me up with that because it was telling me I have to streamline this
mm-hmm.
one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I can't use my, you know, musical ability or creative artistic ability.
Oh yeah, she
I
can
can't
sing as well. She
yeah.
was even in a music group, my dear.
Yeah,
yeah, she sings really well.
But yeah, it was. I was always interested in so many things, and I was always really reprimanded for it in science. It was so hard.
Yeah,
also,
because she was in STEM.
Level,
yeah, with us.
And it was like, now you do creative things as well. Like, yes.
Why are
yes,
you not in your lab
it
coat
was,
walking
yeah,
around?
It was hard. Luckily, I was not actually one of the lab coat kids.
Oh, I was one of the lab coat kids.
Yeah.
No, I didn't walk around in it. That's
yeah.
like, come on. But we went there.
But yeah, I feel like also the ability to be interested in several things requires a lot of downtime and alone time. And for me, I've tried to create a world in which I'm doing most of the things myself. It's unfortunate that I need people now and I'm working toward that, but I think I would also just rather be able to be in control of my time and when and where and how much time I spend with people.
Mm.
Like back to the,
yes.
the introvert thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just going to take a short break. So with everything that we've said here today, I would describe myself, or I would say that the flavor in me is clean linen. Are you guys familiar with that?
Mm.
Yeah, so we have, okay, I get migraines, and one of my auras, or what do you call it? Things that affect you. Because for
triggers.
Some it's, yeah, so for some it's like light or whatever, but like it's when you're in the middle of the migraine attack.
Mm-hmm.
My sense of smell is so heightened.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be in a good smelling place. Otherwise, it's just, I'm in hell. So I've always had like reed diffusers, or I have that little automatic spray thingy. And for the longest time, I would use clean linen. And it was like the smell of home. And I remember moving into my place. I had it painted and everything, but I was so unhappy like the first few days because it didn't smell like anything. And
mm.
yeah, so I would say, yeah, that's the flavor in me.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd say the flavor in me is probably, if that's a phrase, animalistic. I've always resonated with just any and everything animal. Like, there have been times in my life where I've probably, you know, when you're doing a lot of the things that you do to keep yourself sane, but you still find yourself not finding balance, which means that there's probably one or two activities that you haven't caught up with in a while, be it exercise, be it enough sleep,
yes,
and so on.
Yeah.
There are times when I haven't watched enough National Geographic or channel, where I don't enjoy music, I
yeah.
can't find a good movie to watch, I can't,
yes,
like,
because you haven't had that
yeah, and
dose
I have
of,
to literally
yeah.
troubleshoot,
yeah.
run through a couple of episodes, and then once I find that, I then have to channel it down as well, because are we in the ocean? Are we in the forest? Are you watching something in the desert? Are you watching predators? Are you watching
you were born in
animals?
The right country.
So yeah, that, and then even when just generally when I found myself lost, just the vibrations of animals just really they center me a little too much sometimes, which also contributes to the whole introvertedness, because the human psyche has a social need for interaction.
Yes, we're social animals, and
yes,
we form packs.
Yes, and fortunately or unfortunately, this need is not uniquely met by human interaction. I get social interactions from these guys the whole day, because like I said, there's a channel of communication going.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have 3-4 days where I've only spoken to animals or been around animals, and my social cues would still be satisfied, because just going through the day, I would feel the interactions, and then that would almost have me forget that people exist.
That sounds peaceful. That sounds so peaceful.
Yeah, but it's toxic to some extent, because
yeah,
just it's not real.
Yeah,
the world is going on whether or not you choose to participate.
Yeah,
and at some point you're gonna have to come back, and it just depends on how long you've been out, and then
yeah,
get back on. Yeah, so I'd say the flavor in me is definitely animalistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Mm-hmm.
I would say mine would be expressive, but expressive in terms of beauty. Because I think that everything that I do has an element of beauty that drives it, well, along with creativity. Because I think, well, I think art is what it is because it's appealing, it's visually appealing. I make beauty products because I want to retain my beauty, you know, and retain it as well as possible, and I'd like to help other people do the same. I make gourmet sandwiches because I make them look good, and my flavor profiles are, you know, and I feel like I just feel like it's something I have a calling and a good eye for, and also the ability to create as well. So yeah, that's definitely my flavor.
Okay, so what is your petty peeve for the week?
Like guys with that one long fingernail. Stop it.
You just got places to
stop
spread.
No. If there's anyone here with a long fingernail, I've got a nail cutter in my bag. Come line
up. That's how you get that long distance flea. I don't have to worry about getting anything on your car. You've got it all the way through the week.
Oh my God.
Have you ever had it?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You know
what breaks my heart, eh? When you find like high profile corporate homies or whatever, and then he's rocking you like, what's going on here, my brother? I met a homie one time that bites his nails, that had one in the, like it was
so
with you.
He preserved that
one. I was
so
triggered.
Now that
do you bite nails? Or are you growing one nail out, my brother? What is happening with your life right now? Do you have order or not?
No, that's terrifying.
I was so, and the line wasn't moving fast enough. And for some reason, he kept keeping his hand behind us.
Oh,
you know what they do, and this is really creepy. This.
So you
look,
didn't
that
look
alone
you?
Is wild.
No, I mean, have you never experienced shaking somebody's hand and they do that?
That alone is wild.
That's
doing it with a pinky nail is just.
Okay.
It's enough. Like that, just in itself.
It's an extreme sport.
Okay.
At this point.
My petty peeve is people who think time passed is an apology. So instead of like saying something or talking about it,
I had to work away from that.
Hey, I know it's easy, but and men do it.
I had to work away. I had to learn to work away from now, especially when I got into business first. I was disappointing so many people just because I was learning so many new things at once, and then like because I knew how I wanted to. Like, because I know that I want to do better, I wouldn't necessarily feel the need to apologize for the past action. I would focus on the fact that I'm trying to do better now.
Mm.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that I was supposed to show up on Monday.
Mm.
Now I'm showing up on Tuesday with a let's do this attitude.
Yeah. And you're happy and smiling, but you
like,
do.
Let's, you know.
Yeah, no, it irritates me. Especially those people that wait for years. Like, years go by and then they're like, hi, like nothing happened. No, let's just keep it. Please, I'm not going to smile and hi-hi with you because time passing is not an apology. Oh, she's probably not angry anymore. No, I'm not. But now I am indifferent. You are nothing.
Right.
I get into that state of nothingness.
Like you actually don't
exist. Yeah, so catch me while I can.
I will
and if you
know
don't,
you.
Yes,
oh my
I will,
God.
I will you. And people don't know that that's
yeah.
how I am. So that is my petty peeve. Time passing is not an apology. If you have to say sorry, say sorry. And sometimes, even if I'm not in the space to receive it, it has been done. And then the person can go digest it and everything later and so forth. I say all of that to say, because I had an altercation in corporate in a corporate space quite recently. That was very bad that I didn't even want to go back. And I've never not, ever since I've worked for all of these years, I've never not wanted to go to work.
Mm.
And I didn't even. I just went straight to one of our offices and I went to HR. And I said, I don't want. And this is why I don't want. And we had to sit, talk it out. And I was not ready, but it's better because that conversation has happened.
Mm.
And then I'll move past it. But if I had just gone there and we're just acting friendly, no. Because I can be very petty.
So shout out Black businesses. I'd like to shout out Causeras forever and always. Yo.
Where do we find you?
On Instagram and Facebook. Busy transitioning more into the daycare scene now. Just because I feel like it's more lucrative and more, but better time well spent. And also it allows me to care for my dogs a little more than a little, like it gives me a platform where I can display a lot more care, which comes back to my pet peeve or petty peeve now, which is people who don't wholeheartedly care for their dogs. Like this whole thing of, I've had people whose dogs are sick and the only way they console themselves is not to take the dog to the vet but by telling somebody else that they call dog father or whatever. Like,
oh.
You don't care, really. You, like, I've had people blow my phone. I'm like, no, my dog has a wound. I'm like, okay, listen, that type wound is a wound that is treated with this type of medication. I'm at the mall now. Send me $300. I'm going to buy your antibiotics and your spray for the thingy. I'm on the way. The guy won't send the $300, but he felt the need to blow your phone up 7 times up until you found a solution. That type, yeah. Those people really, really triggered me. So now here I can actually work with people who I know genuinely care about their dogs, and because they usually pay well to have the dogs here, I also just have the time and space to really, really care for people who I feel care as much, if not more than.
Negligence is bad. I don't even think it's a petty thing.
I hate when it's masked with that whole I care type of thing. Like, I have somebody now whose contract I refuse. I saw them like 9 months back. They had their dog tied up. The dog was about 3-4 months old. And then 9 months later, they're calling me about a problematic dog that is still tied up. And now every time they lose, I'm like,
but
yes.
But what did they think was going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. So people like that and stuff. And it's like
a minister. Oh,
So you would think.
Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, shout out Pozras. Daycare, dog sitting, dog training, we do grooming, but especially right now in December with your small dogs, especially. Our daycare is mostly caters to small breed dogs because we don't do kennels, we don't do cages, we do hikes, we do grooming.
I see you guys do the hikes a lot. Those are nice.
In between the daycare.
So,
and then we also give you a transformed dog by the time you get your dog back. Whether it was here for a weekend or a week, you best believe you're getting a totally different dog just by the amount of time it's been spent here.
Upgraded.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me, Anna.
All right.
DJ.
We out.
Bye.
Bye.